with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you. So today it's Monday. We are here very alive. We would love to hear your comments or any question. Please give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, you can always reach us at 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So it's Monday, and the week before we always put out a question. We pray first that you all had a wonderful Father's Day and that the women in your life and the children in your life have honored you, and your sons also honored you. So this was the question. Why is fatherhood essential for the well-being of the family, faith, and culture? I thought it was a great question.
So we want to hear from you. You could use that question. What is fatherhood? What does it matter in terms of faith? That we have a faith, we believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Fatherhood in the faith and passing that faith along. In the family, the father in the family, fatherhood, the way of fatherhood, and then culture. What difference do fathers make and fatherhood in terms of raising up children and boys and girls into this culture? You can also give us a call, just tell us about your Father's Day, the joys, the sorrows. Maybe you've lost a father during that time. So call us about Father's Day and what it meant to you, or call us about the question of the day, fatherhood in faith, family, and culture.
And you could also go out to the EWTN.com website. Go to EWTN.com/St. Joseph for an ebook on St. Joseph, the patron saint of fathers.
Amen.
So if you're having issues maybe with your father and you need to pray more effectively for him, St. Joseph is a great prayer partner for you to have. EWTN.com/fatherhood also has a great collection of EWTN resources and articles on fatherhood.
You went through that.
Yeah.
So it's a collection, like you just said, of articles. And maybe it's just because we prepare for shows like this, but if you want to read some excellent articles on fatherhood, why does fatherhood matter? Fatherhood in relationship to influence in the lives of your female children, your daughters. What difference does a father make in that? So it's great reading, good instruction for you to be all that you can be as a dad.
And I think it's important, especially you may have had a great dad, but maybe he was a great dad just in a work ethic, and he was a great provider and a protector, which are beautiful virtues. Yeah. But maybe he wasn't very faith-filled, which, like, he didn't go to church, or he wasn't part of the raising of you in your spiritual way. And the effect that has on children, sons and daughters and families when the father doesn't go to church. And you might be a new dad out there and you're like, you know, I'm going to need help because maybe you didn't have the best role model in the spiritual development of your life.
Yeah.
And EWTN has outstanding resources.
When we come
you.
Back, we could share with them, because flip that over. What happens when the father's not going? There's statistics on that. But what happens when the father is attending? What happens with the children? What's the percentage of those that follow? So we'll speak about that. But we hope that we don't have to teach too much. Give us a call. Respond to the question, fatherhood and faith, family, and culture. Or just speak to us about your Father's Day weekend. We'd love to hear from you. There's plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away. 1-800-221-9460, 205-271-2980. Call us now.
Welcome back. Well, remember that today we're taking your questions or your comments on our live show. So if you're watching, please give us a jingle, 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, it's 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with a question or a comment to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com, and check us out on Facebook. So this was the question that went out there. Why is fatherhood essential for the well-being of the family, faith, and culture? And I just want to say that we celebrated you, Father's Day. Saturday night, we went to Mass, and then we went out to dinner with some of our, with our daughter and her children and her husband, Nate, and we did that, and that was lots of fun. And then for me, my dad's deceased, and so I always, we always celebrate our sons and our son-in-laws, because I'm grateful that they are great fathers. We pray for them daily. We encourage them in their faith journey to the best of our ability that we can. And because we want them not only to be great fathers for their own formation, but we want them to be great husbands, and we want them to raise up our grandchildren in the way that they should go. So we always send a gift, and then we also blessed our spiritual fathers, which were our priests and our deacons at our parish. We do that. We made up a little snack for each of them. That was fun. And then for me, I got to shop for you.
You did.
And for Jim, he, you know, he has everything, everything he needs. But when he needs something, that's the only time he lets you buy something for him.
Yeah.
And so it was fun for me because I was like, yes, I got to go shopping for you and get you things that you needed. And you were really happy because you needed, you were a very good receiver.
Thank you.
You were a great receiver of all the things. Yeah. So it was a blessing to bless you on
your
Father's Day. And you're a great father, and you're a great Bobo, and you're a great husband. For that, I'm grateful.
Thank you, thank you. I want to read a quote here. Every family needs a father who shares in his family's joy and pain, hands down wisdom to his children, and offers them firm guidance and love. And that's from Pope Francis, describing the role of a father. So we want you to call us, you know the question, why is fatherhood of the essence in our faith, in passing on the faith, in the family, in the culture? What difference does fatherhood make? I mean, we need to think, we need to understand, we need to be bold in this time, because you have people in this culture that are saying, we should ban the term father. We should ban the term mother. We should get rid of the nuclear family because it's related to Nazism somehow, some way. This is where we are.
Right.
And one of the things about fathers is backbone and strength, that we need fathers who know who they are in the Lord Jesus Christ and will not shrink back in fear. We need to understand, speaking about fatherhood, why it's of the essence, faith, family, culture. I was thinking at Mass, we had the Saturday evening Mass the day before Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting in Mass and I'm thinking about my own father, James Pinto Sr. He's just a really fine, strong provider, protector, loyal dad, loyal to his children, lost his wife at age 42. She passed away, had still a couple little children. I was just thinking, you know, what a good man. I was missing it, really wanted to cry. And then I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm so glad I had a good father. And I think I have a nice relationship with Jesus, an intimate relationship with him. And I know the Holy Spirit to some degree, the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. But I was sitting there thinking, I was looking at the crucifix of Jesus. And I was thinking, I said, but you know, I don't know the Father all that well. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You know, he's just like Spirit, big, huge. And then I was looking at Jesus upon the cross, hanging there just with that loincloth on, his head to the side. I guess he had given up the Spirit. And he was there, and it was like Jesus spoke to me. I think like he spoke to Thomas. I think that was the apostle. And he says, don't you understand that when you see me, Jim, you see the Father. You see my Father. You see our Father. And I thought to myself, that's very helpful. And Jesus was like, I do nothing except what my Father tells me to do. My food is to do the will of my Father. And of course, that the greatest act is the intentional, willful sacrificing of his life. Jesus wasn't jumped by some mob. There was a mob. He intentionally and willingly laid down his life at a particular point. He allowed his heart to be lanced, to be open, for blood to be shed. And so and now I understood this is what the Father looks like. Mm. Jesus is what the Father looks like. Jesus is all about the Father. The Holy Spirit's all about Jesus. The Father's all about Jesus. And so if you have difficulty for whatever reason, it could be bad relationship with your Father, or it could be you had a really good relationship with your Father and you're not thinking about the Heavenly Father. I think that's my case. But when you see Jesus Christ and what he does and how he loves and how he sacrifices, how he runs to you, then you know the Heavenly Father. We have a call here, Joy?
Yes, we have Rena on the phone from California. Rena, welcome to At Home with Jim and Joy. Your question or your comment?
Yes, thank you. Joy, I just wanted to... I'm very, very moved by what you said about fathers and daughters. And it makes me cry because I had a dad, like you said, that was always working. He worked every day, 7 days a week. He didn't come to church with us. He had his confirmation when they got married, but you know, he would work. And my mother never really let us approach him. When we were little, his own words to me were, you know, I could never come near, your mother would never give you to me, or she treated you like gold. And she would never let me have, you know. Well, you know, now in my old age, I realized that affected my whole life. Hmm. You know, I had different picture of what husbands are, what men are. There's a fairy tale thing, you know, that isn't real. It was never real. And I see these little girls that, you know, when they're two, Joy, you must know this. When they're two, you must appreciate, 2 years old, they crawl up on their daddy's lap, and then they look at the mother like, ha-ha, I've got him now, you know. That's yes. Normal, and we never did that. My mother, and then later my mother said, why can't you go to your dad and sit on his lap, and, you know. Yeah. Well, that was about as strange to me as going in the, you know, riding the goat. I mean, so what you said just hit me, you know, that women don't realize, I think they need to know that they need to share their daughters, yes. Have their daughters make a purposeful, you know, relationship with the Father.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, Rena, thank you so much for your call. And, you know, that was the generation of men in those days. And that was how your dad showed love. And I get it. Your mom was like, she was protecting him from the children because she had her job. She was the nurturer. She was doing all the caring and all the conversing with the children and stuff.
Yes.
But it is true. There is always a cavity in our souls. From ways that our emotional needs were met or they were unmet from our fathers or our mothers. And that's where the Holy Spirit then comes to you and me. And you can say, even at whatever age you are, however old we are or young we are, Jesus, come and fill the cavity in my soul that the little girl inside of me needs from you.
Yeah.
Words of affirmation. A touch, holding me, cuddling with me, just being with me. And for me, in my soul and in my life and my journey, that happens in adoration. You know, where that intimacy with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit really happens. So that's where you can then, for your father or your mother, however they were able to meet your needs or not meet your needs, Jesus then comes. Mm. Because he knows time and space. He can be wherever he needs to be. He knows you when you were 3. He knows you when you were 5. He knows you when you were an adult and maybe you needed affirming words from your father. It's like, Lord, come to me. Come to me and hold me and speak to my heart and heal any wound that might be in my soul. That I would be the true, authentic person that you created me to be. Because even as parents, I couldn't meet all of my children's needs. I mean, I'm just a human being, but that's where we as parents lead them to Jesus to say, you come in and fill any cavity in their soul, Jesus, and make them whole and make them the people. And if I've done something wrong, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa.
We have a quote here. In revealing and in reliving on earth the very fatherhood of God, a man is called upon to ensure the harmonious and united development of all the members of the family, St. John Paul II. So call us, let us know your thoughts on fatherhood. And I'm thinking of our last caller and what she was sharing. And so how do you fill that void now? The phrase, blessed are those who mourn. Mm-hmm. Blessed are you who mourn. So maybe there's some things to mourn, that the relationship wasn't all that it could be. Let them be human beings, but mourn and God will comfort you. I think the sacraments as well. Mm-hmm. You said adoration, but the sacraments get to the senses. You know, we need a touch. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is revealing the Father's fatherhood through himself. Mm-hmm. And so receiving Holy Eucharist at that time, mentioning your woundedness and what you wish you had that you didn't have, and now it's not possible with your Father. And so when you receive the Holy Eucharist, say, you know, Lord, help me to know the Father's love. Touch me with whatever I'm missing. You know, I want to know what it means to have a Father who affirms me in fullness. And that's what we need to do as fathers. Mm-hmm. And that's called the blessing. Trenton Smalley wrote a book on the blessing, to speak words of high value upon your children. Great words, to know them, to speak those words, to speak a promising future to them in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to meaningfully touch them. We need to lay our hands upon our children. We need to let them come up into our, we need to hug them, as awkward as it might be for us, that they would receive blessing through that meaningful touch, through words of high value, through a promising future, and to let the child know, I'm totally committed to you. I will die for you. And maybe more importantly, I'll live for you all the days of my life when I'm here on earth. And from heaven, Lord willing, I will pray for you. Thank you for this conversation. God bless fatherhood in our families, in our faith, and in this culture. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, before we wrap up today's show, we're going to go to Rome to check in with beautiful Joan Lewis. Now, Joan is going to be sharing how her own father shaped her life and faith and the life of those around her.
Well, greetings, buongiorno from Rome. Now, of course, yesterday in the States was Father's Day, and that's a day in which we celebrate our own fathers, our dads. And it's a time to look at the impact they made on our lives, but also more broadly, to look at the influence of fathers in society, and also a look at society when fathers are absent. Now, I had a lot of glimpses over the years, but it was really only when my dad died at the age of 80 that I was able to understand, to hear, to learn of the positive impact that this extraordinary, extraordinary man had on so many people in so many ways of life. Every single condolence card that arrived had one sentence in common: Bill touched so many lives. Now, my dad died on the Feast of the Holy Family in December, and I have to say that was the day chosen by the Lord, because my dad was just that. He was a holy family man. And both he and my mom, of course, for them, faith and family were everything, the underpinning of our life as a family. I could smile from here to eternity with the great memories I have of my dad, but two moments really stand out. As a teenager, I loved every single Lenten season going to daily mass with him early in the morning and then sharing time together over breakfast at a local cafe before I went to school and dad went to work. The other memory, one of the millions, was the gorgeous letter that my dad wrote to me on my 21st birthday. A letter celebrating life, celebrating femininity, how to live interior beauty and the importance of always having a smile on your face. Now, Dad was in so many ways a man for all seasons. He was a scholar and a gentleman. He was erudite to the 10th degree. But more than anything else, my dad was a chemical and mechanical engineer, by the way, and there was nothing he could not invent, repair, fix, or explain to us. My dad was also had a great sense of humor. He could entertain people for hours. Dad was a musician. He played the saxophone. And also, very much like my mom, my dad was an amazing gardener. Now, being together was everything for him as a family. Being together at meals, helping us with our homework, taking us on family trips and vacations. That was every single thing to my dad. He was patient and loving to the nth degree. And he taught us so much about life. He wanted us to be good, truthful, loyal, faithful people, people who knew how to live justice. He wanted us to live the golden rule. He wanted us to be reliable, dependable, and be accountable for all of our actions. And Dad was also a great diplomat. He was the first person to try and defuse a bad situation. And he had this intuitive sense of when people needed help, and he'd be the first one to go help him. I certainly hope that I have followed Dad's advice, his example, his life, and that I too can help make the world a better place. Now, before I go, I want to tell you that I've told many people over the years that my dad was the one who, at a very early age of mine, gave me my PhD. Yeah, PhD. Passion, hard work, and dreams. And you know what? I think that really has helped me through life. Well, we only can touch the tip of the iceberg about my dad, but back to all of you, and happy Father's Day.
Joan, absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for helping us to see through your eyes and your heart, your dad who poured himself into you. You are a blessing to millions. Mm. So let us pray for fathers. Let us pray for fatherhood to be established in our families, in our faith, for God is our Father, and in the culture around us. Let us not shrink back, but be the men Christ has called us to be. God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.